You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
As we explore the risks facing the world in 2014, one place where the U.S. faces a low risk of serious challenge is in its technological superiority in the use of pilotless drone aircraft. Being the undisputed master of drone airspace has produced military successes in Pakistan and made the U.S. some unplanned enemies in Afghanistan and Yemen, where drones have been blamed for civilian casualties. The trend over the next 5 years at the Pentagon, though, is for increased use of robotic weapons. Is this a good thing for national security? And can the U.S. even count on its global drone edge for that long? Clint Watts is a senior fellow at both the Homeland Security Policy Institute and at the Foreign Policy Research Institute. Welcome, Clint.
Thank you.
How significant do you think this military technological advantage in drones is for the U.S., and how long do you think it will last?
I think it's a major step forward for the U.S., principally because of the situation the U.S. has been in over the past decade. We were fighting an asymmetric enemy that's scattered across many different countries around the world, and we found over time that occupying singular nations and rebuilding them was extremely difficult. And as soon as we did that, even if we were successful against a terrorist group like Al-Qaeda, they would move to the next safe haven.
Now, are you saying that we simply throw out the Tommy Franks book of the invasion of Iraq, even throw out the counterinsurgency textbook of General Petraeus, and leap straight to drones as pretty much the singular strategy and tactic in dealing with Al-Qaeda and terrorism?
Definitely not. I think they each have their time and place. In 2002 and 2003, we were doing clear, hold, and build in Iraq and Afghanistan, trying to build nations, trying to turn them into democracies. That was extremely expensive, and it didn't work well. We tried doing interdiction, capture, and detention, and the ways we were doing that were primarily through secret prisons, rendition, and Guantanamo Bay. All three of those options were not well-liked, and rightfully so, and so those were taken off the table. So when you look at across the entire history of the past 10 years, incrementally the public has found problems with each counterterrorism option that's being used and taken that back. And drones has been the most successful in terms of actually decapitating Al-Qaeda's leadership. And it's still up for debate whether it will be entirely pulled off, but it's definitely been scaled back as well.
Well, you can certainly make the argument that that would apply to drones as well, and that we are sowing the seeds of that same kind of dissatisfaction, both in terms of angering people who we want to have as our friends in Afghanistan. And then the bigger argument, which is the more successful the U.S. is with drones, the more terrorists are going to want them, and you don't need Mohammed Atta to fly into the World Trade Center if you've got a drone to do it for you.
Well, on the first point, I don't think drones are effectively evaluated against other counterterrorism operations. For example, no one goes into the tribal areas and looks at the casualties, the civilian casualties and deaths involved in when we sponsor the foreign military of Pakistan to go into the tribal areas to hunt for Al-Qaeda members. No one's counting those civilian casualties. They do count drones. I think it's a good thing that we do. There needs to be accountability for it. But no one really investigates those other options. And I think if they did investigate those other options, they might be shocked at the civilian casualties that come out of it. And this is the debate over means and ends, really, is what it is. It seems like it's okay if we hand off responsibility to somebody else and essentially support them with money. The American public seems to find it more palatable. When we directly engage Al-Qaeda on our own and things don't go right, there's quite an upset audience waiting to pounce. Have they investigated those? Have they evaluated those? In my opinion, having spent a career working with the military, law enforcement, and intelligence, I would tell you drones, while not perfect and definitely need to be held accountable, are the least casualty-producing option that we have.
Although that argument suggests that we justify drones because we're killing civilians in much bigger numbers in other ways. I mean, I don't know if that's the best argument.
I'm just telling you, out of those three options, that is the one that is the least civilian casualty producing. And so then my counter argument to you is that you're saying we should not pursue Al-Qaeda in Pakistan at all.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that the seeds for the unpopularity and ultimately the drone success will come back to bite us. What do you say about proliferation when terrorists start to get drones and can fly missions from their own bunkers?
I think this is a very far off scenario. I think the more immediate concern with drone proliferation is that other foreign countries do exactly as we have done. They develop their own drone technology and then they deploy it. But for terrorists, there are multiple components to the drone program. All we ever see is the scary pictures of the unmanned jet with missiles, but there's actually at least three more components. One is the actual intelligence that's on the ground that can lead to the actual strike. That is maybe the most important part of the whole program, and it's somewhat under-discussed in the media. The second part of it is you have to have a major telecommunications architecture to route those drones to wherever you want them to go. Terrorist groups are going to be limited to flying them essentially in a local or very regional area, probably at their best case.
But couldn't you make the same argument about nuclear technology that you need centrifuges, you need containment, and then along comes AQ Khan and hands off that technology to North Korea? The same could happen with the drones.
Right, but those are nation states, and you're compounding them with terrorist groups. Terrorist groups have tried desperately, especially Al Qaeda. They would love to get a nuclear device, but it's much more complicated to execute that kind of an attack than what was, previously made out in the media. For small scale asymmetric terrorist groups, they're going to essentially have to acquire that from a nation state if they want to develop, much like nuclear technology.
All right, the drone future for the Pentagon and for the rest of the world. Clint Watts is a senior fellow at the Homeland Security Policy Institute and at the Foreign Policy Research Institute. Thanks so much, Clint.
Thank you.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.